Welcome to BizArt, a podcast of the odd, the art and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizartcast@gmail.com. That's bizartcast@gmail.com. Right, I'm Madeleine Swan. I write weird and strange stories. And this is Stephen Waring.
Hello.
And you can find his weird brain at Cosmic Arts Limited. Stephen's Art Jollies, Stephen's Art Jollies. Boo, 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 boo.
Okay, we're going to start with... I was speaking to a friend of mine on an internet chat site. This is an ex-uni friend, who's quite cool, actually. He's got a website, doriandeans.com. I think... I've always thought that we pronounced it Danes when we were at uni, but maybe that's wrong. That's doriandeens.com. And he does kind of really cool sort of line art. He's a very good artist. But he kind of pointed me towards someone called Marco Evaristi.
Marco Evaristi, I think, yeah.
Marco Evaristi. He's a Chilean artist who studied in Denmark. But his obscure works have included... Basically, he visited Bangkok. He got the blood from car crash victims. I guess they don't worry about that kind of thing.
No. They're maybe he slipped them some money or something.
He probably did slip the police or the hospital some money. And then he incorporated this blood into ink. He mixed it with ink and then put it onto canvas and created paintings from it. He was interested in a Picasso quote about art being fake, I guess, because it's a representation. He was trying to make it not fake by being a painting incorporating the actual real thing. So it's an interesting concept, but I'm not sure about the guy's morals. Another thing he did was he cooked meatballs and pasta for a group of friends, invited them round for dinner. But the meatballs actually contained his own fat. He got liposuction.
I bet they all say, you know, oh, he's a card. Yeah. Let's all go around here. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Eating fat, stabbed in the face. Who knows? It's a laugh a minute.
I wonder how many of those people are actually friends these days.
Yeah.
Another thing he did, this was quite a famous one. You'd heard of it, hadn't you, Maddie? He'd made a model of the gates of Auschwitz concentration camp, and he made it out of the gold, allegedly, of Jewish people's teeth.
Mm. Yeah, that was on...
The victims from the concentration camp.
Yeah, that was on that programme, Four Rooms, where people take stuff round, well, four rooms to try and sell it to a different kind of... what are they called, those people? You know, auction types or something.
Oh, really?
Collectors or something like that.
Okay,
you know?
I've not seen that at all. I don't know.
Well, it's weird because they're obsessed with anything that they think is that they don't like. They say, oh, I'll buy that to smash it up. I don't know if they think that they're being cool or whatever, but there was someone who took in some Ku Klux Klan outfits, and one was a child, which was really disturbing. So it's like people, you know, Ku Klux Klan dressing their kids in these cloaks. And the guy who was thinking of buying said, oh, I'll buy it to cut it up. And I was like, well, you can't erase history just by cutting up a bit of cloth, you know. It's a horrendous part of history. But
isn't a million miles away from Casper the Friendly Ghost, really, is it? If you just change the head a bit.
Yeah, that's kind of true. You could, if you were in the KKK and you were embarrassed about it, you could kind of try and explain that away to any guest who accidentally wandered into your secret racist room, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a ghost cosplay or whatever you
The Father Ted Nazi episode.
Yes, the Father Ted Nazi episode.
So, yeah, very, very interesting. I kind of like the ideas, this incorporating blood of road crash victims into art. But the actual, yeah, again, the actual ethics of the thing is kind of, but again, that throws up questions, doesn't it? That throws, because it's reflecting back on me, it's saying, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess we're talking about it, and that's the...
That's the point.
Thing. But then again, do you know what, I mean, I could probably talk about the Holocaust anyway. I mean, it was so horrendous. But I would never ever suggest that someone shouldn't make a
that
bit
was
of
probably
art or
the weakest
like that.
Weakest of those ideas, actually.
Yeah.
The Holocaust thing is kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that exhibition was on for very long before it was taken.
What
the
Holocaust
thing? Holocaust
that was
one.
Just a model.
It was a model.
It was a model, yeah.
Yeah, so very interesting. I've not actually heard of this guy. like many artists, I live in my own head.
Yeah,
I'm not much of a sponge these days.
No.
I kind of produce stuff from off the top of my head. So
sounds like some sort of illness. You should get that checked out.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Jackson Pollock was much the same,
wasn't
he?
Or at least put something under your pillow so it doesn't seep onto it at night.
Yeah.
I mean, Pollock and Matisse and everyone, they just sort of hold themselves away and got on with it for a certain period of time, didn't they?
Marco Evaristi is the guy's name. Well worth checking out. So there we go. And check out my friend's website, doriandeans.com, to see some lovely line art.
Yay! Okay, I suppose it's over to me now.
Don't sound so enthusiastic.
I'm trying to remember what my jingle was. That's the important bit.
Over to me now for
no.
the jingle.
So it was something like, I don't know, it sounded like a turkey falling off the back of a truck, didn't it?
Woo! Oh, yeah! Yeah.
So,
oh, well, you
there
did.
There we are. There's my jingle for Maddie's Creative Curiosities. Which is much like the previous section, but a bit different. Okay, I've been looking at spooky stories on the internet. Basically, there's well-known sites such as Crappypasta.
Crappypasta? What? Why is that so horrible? Just slightly badly cooked pasta. But, oh, was it Marco Evaristi's pasta? Oh, I see what you're getting at.
There is actually... Anyway, I'll start again. There is the well-known site creepypasta.com. People submit spooky stories to that. And sites like Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and Mr. Creepypasta, they have like YouTube channels. They do readings of them, which is quite reassuring because it feels a little bit like you're listening to the old radio shows, you know, like old horror tales for the dark. Some of them can be a bit crude, a bit juvenile, you know. Russian Sleep Experiment is another one that's sort of crudely violent, but I don't know, it's effective in other ways. It's effective because I think the crudity of it is what taps into the straight into the fear section of your brain, because it's the internet. It's kind of it's just out there. You don't know who's written it really. And you don't know where it's come from. And there's something a bit unhinged about it and unsafe about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there, actually.
It's, you know, I mean, they're not always the best written, and they're not always from, you know, people who obviously write for a living. But, you know, I'm sure some of them will go on to. So, yeah, there's something very disturbing about the fact that they're kind of anonymous as well. And there's a site as well called SCP Foundation, which focuses on sci-fi. It's still spooky, but it's told from the point of view of so-called scientists and experts that are cataloguing abnormal creatures and objects. So that's quite a good one to look at too. I mean, obviously it's just regular people writing in, but it's kind of the added fantasy of it being like a real thing. Like, a lot of the creepypasta as well are from so-called this happened to me kind of angle, which is something that I think adds to it quite a bit. Another interesting site that I found was Calgary's Gideon Keys. It's quite bizarre, and it operates under the idea that Calgary, it's a real place.
Canada.
Yeah, it's a real place in Canada, but it kind of operates under the fantasy that there's a hidden spooky world underneath, and in order to access it, like different rooms and so on, you have to perform rituals known as Gideon keys. You know, you have to do a certain thing and you enter this yellow room that has something bizarre in it. It's quite spooky and notably good creepypasta that I found. There are quite a few. The Rake was good, Candle Cove, and there was a Japanese one which was translated into English that they read on Chilling Towers for Dark Nights called Faces, which is quite... and also, if you're feeling a bit mean, there is a site called Crappy Pasta, in which people have tried and, according to everyone else, failed. So
that one's real.
That one's real. Oh. Crappy Pasta exists. And you can go on it and laugh or feel a bit sad, depending.
Yeah, I like that. Kind of the feeling of the unknown thing you were tapping into. That kind of, like, the power of suggestion.
Yeah.
Always being much more powerful than actually...
Definitely, because...
Reality.
Like most people, I like a really good, sophisticated, spooky story. But I think sometimes there's something to be said for sort of scratching all of that and going right back to evoking the feeling that you might get from telling campfire stories or something, where it's probably not, like, the greatest way it could be told... But there's something really spooky about the fact that it's presented as true, you know?
Yeah.
And also you don't know where it's from.
Ooh.
So yes, have a look.
Like The Fog. The beginning of the film, The Fog.
I don't know if I've seen the fog. Oh, yeah.
The actual legend that they're talking about.
Yeah.
Happens about 10 minutes later.
Ooh.
It's really good, actually.
I want to watch that. I don't think I've seen that one. I've seen The Mist. But I haven't seen The Fog.
They're quite different, really.
They both feature vapour.
Vapour.
That gets into your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, moving on. What's next on the agenda?
Okay, David Brent. The next thing on the agenda.
Did not get an agenda.
The next thing is, it's freaky films. They are freaky in your face.
Oh, yeah. Freaky films.
Yeah.
Right.
We decided instead of doing a feature-length film this time, we were going to do an episode of Monty Python. How can you separate just one episode, you may ask? Well...
You can with this one,
I think, because it's in the very last series, the fourth series. It's not one that I think many people watch, so it's not one of their overused, always on the telly ones.
Mm.
John Cleese isn't even in this episode, so, you know, and it's just what you described it as, something that you could put as an installation in a gallery or something.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It's just so out there. The whole thing is about a man trying to return an ant that he bought from a department store.
What's the name of the episode?
It's called Michael Ellis.
Michael Ellis.
And it never actually explains who Michael Ellis is. It's just this phantom that's continually following the main character and oppressing him, and we don't know why.
It's a dream, isn't it?
It is like a dream. Yeah, it's like an anxiety dream, actually, but really stupid. And he's just trying to return an ant to go to the complaints department and hand it back because it hasn't got enough legs.
Yeah.
And that's the premise of it, but it sort of links together all the different sketches. But it is like an increasingly nightmarish dream. And I don't know why, but it's my favourite one. I mean, there are so many good sketches, but as an entire episode, it's probably my favourite.
Yeah, it had that kind of thing where, you know, a dream, some dreams for about a second when you're kind of in that you're between states, you're kind of partly in the dream world and partly waking up.
Some of it makes sense, and some of it just rapidly becomes weirder. And you sense that it's all linking together somehow, but it's not logical. Yes, And it's a bit like Michael Palin's directions to the character in it at one point. You go left at the bit that's going soft. You go right at the bit with the brown speck on it. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
But it's almost very real. Life can be like that.
Yeah. I mean, short story series.
Short story.
Short story series. It's Jack and Ori time. Okay, for anyone else who... wants to send in a under 300 word story to us, send it to the email and I will read it aloud in my soothing tones.
Like that computer on Star Trek.
Yes, like the computer on Star Trek.
Mail Barrett, what's her name? Something like that.
I don't know.
You know nothing.
No, anything. If I don't know anything about Star Trek, obviously that means I know nothing about anything. I'm just very silly, aren't I? Okay, all right. This one is by Paul Roberts, and his website is burningrock408.wordpress.com, and the story is called Ghost of a Shadow. The skull was red, and with blood it dripped, a fee it demanded to grant a desperate wish. The body warm and fresh, now drained and weak, the fee paid by a wretch who sought to be emotionally rich. An eternity of love with any women he wished, no chance for the poor creatures to resist. Rejection and loneliness, a corrupting mix, a once proud man reduced to a shameful wretch. The skull did glow, and with words played so cruel a trick, the deal to endure forever and not a day less. An eternity of love, any women you wish, as you will be a slave to each one and carry out their every wish. The wretch was stunned as with a worried quip, but it's my happiness I seek with any women I wish, to me a slave and serve as abiding wench. But the skull glowed brighter with an unholy stench, no chance to take back the deal now sealed with death. He made your plea with the heart turned black, so I granted its desire, but with a wicked deceit. As into smoke, the ghostly thing did take its leave, with taunting laughter echoing into the night's unholy reach. To the world around, he was the man to have, beyond loyal as to serve his lady, to without any hint of doubt. Within his own mind, trapped, he screamed and scratched, his happiness sacrificed in the Faustian pact.
You have been listening to Bizarre, a podcast of the odd, the art, and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizarrecast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.